So we're talking all about truck driving on the program this morning. Guest this morning is a pretty interesting person. Dr. Jan Karp is an academic who left her job as a police officer to travel around Australia with truck drivers in order to tell the story. And a lot of the information she got from her project was of life on the road has been put together in a book called Truckies, Life Behind the Wheel. And she's going to be sharing some of those experiences with us now. Very good morning, Dr. Jan.
Yes, good morning. How are you going?
Good, thank you. How about you?
Yep, nice morning.
Good to hear. That's a pretty brave move. You're obviously a police officer, and for some reason you had made this decision to travel Australia with truck drivers and to, you know, take up the baton for truck drivers and to find out a little bit more about them and do an academic study of them. What made you decide to do that?
Well, it's actually a second book of three books I'm doing about working people, and the trucking topic came up because I'm a South Sydney girl, worked in Redfern as a police officer for a long time, and my social life was around truck drivers in that area for about 15 years.
Yep.
And you leave the police after 23 years of service and wonder what you're going to do, and I wasn't going to sit on a couch, so off I went and wrote a book, probably, yes, for me, to give me a reason rather than just retire.
And so your research for the book basically saw you travel around the country with truck drivers.
The Eastern Seaboard. I didn't go, yep.
All right. And I assume you knew these truck drivers before?
No, I actually didn't. I talked to the people that I did know first and told them I was going to go out and do it, and they said, yes, go for it. We need a voice. And then I travelled with drivers I actually didn't know.
That would have been a very interesting experience.
Yes, it was. And they were a lot politer than the ones that I socialised with. They were actually really lovely men. They were only men. I didn't travel with women, which is a bit... I'm a bit sorry about. I would have liked also to record as a project the women drivers.
We actually do have quite a few women truck drivers who ring the program, so they're out there.
Well, I'm happy to talk to them if they want to contact me. I've got a website with my email address. I'm more than happy to record their stories.
All right, well, we'll give that out a little bit later on.
Yep.
Very important that we do record these stories. I mean, we get a lot of reports on the overnight radio program just about when an accident happens somewhere in the country.
Sure.
We'll find out about it. And Trevor and I and Bradford, we're often shocked at how many truck accidents there are actually taking part in
I was going to be interviewed, and I checked the Australian Bureau of Statistics releases a monthly report. September, the percentage of truck deaths involving trucks is reducing all the time. And in fact, deaths on the road in Australia over the last 5 years have reduced by 20%. So, and that's a marked reduced number of incidences. So at times I feel like the media contribute to this sort of demonisation of the trucking accident. The problem with it is that when you have weight and speed, a death will result. And so, of course, these are far more dramatic and sad events, and they do get coverage. But the number of accidents is actually... reducing.
It may be reducing, but it's still a high number. And we only report on this stuff because it gets rung in, and we're trying to warn about traffic snarls and other drivers on the road.
Yep.
of the problems. But it is a shock, honestly, how often we get a call about a truck rolling off the side of the road. Not always fatalities, but just truck accidents happening on the roads out there.
And in fact, often they are fatalities because of weight and speed.
Sure.
So they are facing death. And the thing about this, the radio and the media being used to transmit information, I think is really important. Number one, it's a benefit. But there's a huge reliance in the industry now on companies providing GPS systems, the black box, a lot of technology. It's paid for, it's expensive, and it's useful, but only in one direction. So, for example, on the S3 going north, any direction, but if basically you go off a culvert there on the left-hand side, I'm reporting an accident that did happen. If a truck goes down off a road and he has a GPS system, it just appears that on the screen, if anyone's looking at it, as that truck has stopped. So that man could be dying or injured, but there isn't any two-way communication in any of these devices. And I find that sort of a reflection of companies being particularly interested in controlling governments, in control and compliance, but not necessarily equally about welfare. And particularly with the current reporting of defects in trucks, it's almost a reflection of the value system of the companies.
It's funny because I would think that that GPS stuff could actually be used against drivers as well.
They're very useful because a driver now can actually account. You know, if a police officer pulls them over and says, look, you're speeding, and that driver says, going downhill, for example. So the truck drivers will talk to each other. They will say there's a police officer at the bottom of the hill, highway patrol. If that highway patrol officer pulls that driver over and says, you're speeding, and the driver says, no, I'm not, he can actually turn off his GPS system and then ask for the record to be produced, and he can say to the police officer, I will now tell you what I was doing, you know, at 4:10 a.m. Heading north, you know, down this hill, and he can use that as an accountable document.
All right, no worries. Well, it's good to hear it can be used that way. I got a text here. Back in 1942, I was a lorry driver. I drive my lorry from Sydney to Canberra. I can remember the trip like it was yesterday. The trip took 6.5 hours one way. While in Canberra, I was abducted by aliens. Still can't find my way back to my lorry from Eagle. Obviously, a bit of a...
I think that's actually quite an interesting comment, as in it leads us into the conversations about amphetamine use, if you want to go down that track.
How do we get the link there? Because of
psychosis. You know, if you've got a habitual amphetamine user, the result of that can be psychosis. And so, you know, you can read my book about them ending up in a paddock looking at sheep because they've had a psychotic event.
Okay. Or get abducted by aliens.
Exactly.
Fair enough.
Probably more than
there.
Once.
And got a bit of a probe as well while they were there.
Yes, exactly.
Jan, how far did you go? Did you actually sleep in the cabs with truck drivers?
No, I didn't sleep in the cabs with truck drivers, thank you. Although I had a few offers, which was flattering,
nice.
but declined.
Sort of cosy in there.
No sweat and many hours in those cabins. No, not my scene, but certainly hotel rooms. And look, they're actually very polite men. You know, there were a few offers, but you just get offered once and you say, look, no thanks, mate, and that's it. It's all over and done with. So, sorry, the question. We got on to sex and I can't think now what you asked me. Sorry, a bit early.
It was just about, I suppose it was when travelling around the country, you just did long stints in the cab with them as a passenger.
Yes, and you know, it's a respectful workplace. It's like going into anyone's workplace. You can't just jump in the seat and go, you know, I want to know this and blah, blah, blah. There were 14-hour trips or 12-hour trips, whatever the legal time is, which was an interesting adventure in itself. I remember sitting out in a very cold place waiting to get into a truck to do a trip, and the guy wouldn't start until exactly the time that he was allowed to, which I sort of found rather ludicrous. But, yes, it's a matter of being quiet, letting them concentrate, and they would agree to be interviewed but then wouldn't talk, of course.
Yeah.
I remember one bloke had me in the cabin of his truck and asked me to remain silent, and I was like that for about 4 hours, and I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing? And then when he relaxed and decided I was going to comply and do what he wanted me to do, which was behave myself and not cause him any trouble, he did talk to me, which was usually the case, well, always the case.
Probably you had to also be quiet because a lot of them wanted to listen to the radio.
Old ABC. Look, you know what I often find in workplaces that people have very low self-esteem, including police officers, believe it or not, about their level of education. And these men are educated at what they do. They do mathematics way beyond anything I could attempt. I find them very professional and very good at what they do. And surprisingly, speak very low, you know, in a low way about their level of education.
Fairly hard on themselves. Actually, it's funny because we were talking before about colloquial terms for truck drivers and someone suggested they're road scholars. So.
Yes, definitely.
Look, I'll read a couple of these texts, then we'll get to the phone calls. I've got... 4 days. Hi guys, Brody from WA, currently on the road train, on the road in southwest Western Australia. Wouldn't change it for the world. Great company, awesome co-driver. We do up to 2 overnight expresses. Start at 7 p.m. each night and home by midday the following day. Very cruisy, working 3 to 4 days a week. Used to do the run from Perth to Kununurra, pulling triple road trains, but that got old real quick, being away from the home for a week at a time. It is something that a lot of truck drivers have to accept as part of their occupation, that they're going to be missing from home for quite a few days of the week.
Yeah. Look, I'd like to comment on 2 things. One, the family, and the other one is that beautiful space of being on the road. Australia is a superbly beautiful country. I've just been travelling in Europe for 3 months and came home really quite desperately to the countryside that I love. Also, I've been a shift worker, and there's something about working through the night that I do understand. It's a quiet place. And the trucking lifestyle does do that, and it's a choice, you know, that you can be on your own, just with your mates via CB. You may not know their names, but there's a definite connection, a sharing of information. And I did enjoy that aspect of it. I did enjoy the night rides. They're just a very nice place to be in. The family thing, I met men who actually made a choice around how they were going to work based on family. For example, your person who's just texted, they've made their shifts away so they can be with family. Yeah. And then I've met men who deliberately choose lifestyle so they're not involved in family. They don't wish to have the intimacy and connection of the relationships and, of course, the conflict and difficulties that family life brings with it.
Of course, it can go both ways.
Absolutely.
Well, I'll take some calls. I'll just tell you some of the other names we got given for colloquial names for truck drivers. They were called transportologists. They're called freight relocation specialists.
Can I talk about that freight relocation thing?
Yeah.
Only just to be a little serious, because it concerns me that the container operators in Sydney at the moment, because I'm based in rural New South Wales, but someone told me the other day they're getting $23.50 per hour, about that, for moving containers. And then when they go into time and a half and double time, they drop the rate to $20 an hour. And I'm not quite sure how that works. But anyway, keep going.
All right, look, while we're talking about pay rights, I just got here, Sydney to Tarcutta and back, Monday to Friday from 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. and $100,000 a year.
That's very nice.
Just a steering wheel attendant listening to ABC Radio all night. Too easy, says David.
Oh, that is very nice. And look, you know, I definitely didn't want to write a book that made truck drivers victims of their occupations, definitely, and that's a lovely comment.
All right. Look, let's go to the phones because we've got a full board here. So hello to Richard, who's just started driving. G'day, Richard.
Hiya.
Good. You only started 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, now that, as the lady was saying, it is a lifestyle thing. My wife's home stressing as I'm driving through the night. But it's quite good, and as you said, there's good communication between the drivers, and most of the trucks are limited now to 100 kilometres an hour, which is a good thing and a bad thing.
Well, good thing because it keeps you within the speed limit.
He's talking about having control over your own vehicle when you need more speed, and that's any driver needs the capacity to increase speed when you're required to do it, which does happen.
Yeah, I sit on about 96, 97 kilometres an hour, and that gives me 4 or 5 kilometres an hour. If I need to overtake, I need to get past something.
Yeah.
But if you're going past another driver, you communicate on the radio, he'll back out, you'll accelerate, he'll let you through, and it's all good, and it's a very friendly environment out here as far as the drivers go. But not much life for a married man.
Some good points Richard's bringing up there. A lot of people don't even think about it in that terms. That, yeah, they probably do need a bit of speed every now and then to extricate themselves from hairy situations on the road or to overtake someone. And it's obviously almost dangerous that they're limiting the speed in that situation.
Yeah.
You said your point about that.
Yep.
Look, for a wife's perspective, actually, thank you, Richard, for your call. Sandy wanted to point out she's the husband of a truck driver and who drives a Bead Triple. G'day, Sandy.
Hi, how are you? He drives a road fuel train.
Ooh.
Yeah, and he's just left for work now.
And would you ever worry about him? I mean, you would have seen him.
Oh, I worry all the time. Yeah. I worry. We're up in Port Hedland, and there's cows and kangaroos on the road at night. You know, there's so many trucks up here as well, and the drivers are fantastic. You know, just, I go out with him sometimes because he works 6 days a week. So on the Saturday, I'll go for a trip with him because it's a pretty lonely life.
Yeah.
Look, actually, I would like to comment on that. It's very distressing, and it happens a lot when accidents are reported, and you're connected to a driver, and you can't see the vision of what type of truck it is, or you know, the first thing you'll look at is that my friend in a B double? Is that my friend in a fuel tanker? And they're very, very distressing visions and comments on the media, often around accidents.
There aren't a lot up here. For the number of trucks that are on the road up here carting ore or any other mineral and fuel and that, you know, they drive so professionally, it amazes me being in the truck listening to them talking to each other, calling each other round. Because being with the fuel truck, Bruce is driving against, like, if they're going out somewhere, all the ore trucks will be empty, so they'll all be passing him because
yep.
they'll be slower. On the way back, he
yep.
will be empty and passing the ore trucks because they'll be going slower. But we're coming up to cyclone season, and they carry 5 days' worth of food in the truck because, if, like, we have big rainstorms in the afternoons, and if the rivers, or it's amazing because the water will just come up and flow across the road from nowhere, and if they get stuck out, you know, there's a big storm and the water comes up and they can't get home, and they'll just be stuck out there for, you know, days.
Good point. You don't even think about that, that situation can
and
occur.
Communication is the scary thing, because if they're out of range and I'm sitting here and I don't know quite what's happened, where he is, if he's okay. He's an older driver, and a lot of the guys up here are older. You know, I think worry about his health. Has he had a heart attack or something?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, we get a lot of calls from truck drivers quite often on satellite phones who are driving
yeah,
out in the more remote parts of the country.
Yeah, a lot of them don't carry sat phones.
Yeah. Just that thing with communication. I live in a rural area where Wi-Fi comes and goes and telephone communication, just basic, two basic forms, you know, mobile phone, Wi-Fi, and it drops in and out. And there really is, I think, a rural-city divide around the use of communication, and I really do feel that people do not understand the difficulties. There's almost this same thing with GPSs. There's this acceptance that we all communicate and there's no problems with it, and that's just, even though it is 2013, it's not true.
No worries. I'll read a couple more of these texts. We'll head back to the phones after that one. Been driving all my life. I've never seen the industry in such a mess. Older blokes like me are leaving the industry in droves thanks to the over-regulation and the over-policing of the current log. The current look is a joke designed to raise revenue. This is the logbook I think Paul's talking about there.
Look, I'm happy to talk about that. The industry is definitely heavy with older drivers, and they are leaving. It is a real issue. How it used to work is that young men were brought up through the industry by older blokes, but the number of trucks on the road now has increased. I think it's important to know that we actually don't know how many interstate drivers are out there. We don't know the actual numbers. You know, so when we talk about these massive drivers or these massive trucks, we can know the number of trucks via registration. We don't know how many men are actually employed in it. And that there is a real ageing population and a real lack of potential drivers coming through. And it is a very different driving experience to local driving.
Yeah, look, I imagine that almost should be some sort of apprenticeship for truck drivers.
Absolutely.
You know, and they should be paid to learn the job almost.
Yeah.
I'll read a couple more texts, try to get through these. Hi from all the Aussie Post truckies out there at the moment. G'day to everyone driving Australia Post trucks. The more we whinge about conditions we have to put up with, the less things get done. My suggestion is shut up and drive. If you haven't done it for a living, just shut up. From Cooter.
Look, I'd like to comment on that. And I understand, because when I first started this, you know, I knew the drivers, but I started to look at organisations that were involved in trucking, and they're numerous, and they've all got interests, and they all have a comment You know, there's this huge proliferation of people commenting, different state governments, different federal organisations, and I completely sympathise with that point of view. I do think it's a mishmash of a lot of commentary.
And I do agree with you. I've seen a couple of those the commercial current affairs television programs that have been very unsympathetic to truck drivers and almost, you know, emotive in the way they present the stories.
I just think the issues are more complex than what people are prepared to discuss. And, you know, and a bit like we've got companies, very large trucking companies that are almost boutique companies. So they're very big. They run big warehouses. They run a huge fleet of trucks. Or small fleet, depending on whatever their operation is, and I'm not an economist, but they use subcontractor after subcontractor, and then that person subcontracts, and then everybody's in for a margin. And so the margin becomes the important thing, not whether the truck, not the front end. You know, they're not that interested that much in the driver. They're interested in margins around running an operation.
Mm. No, it's that's pretty much sort of anecdotally what we get to hear from the people ringing in as well. Let's have a chat to Acker. Good morning, Acker. You there? Hello, Acker. Echo. Yeah, we'll come back to that fella in a second. Have a chat to Bill. G'day, Bill.
How you going, Pam?
Good, thanks, Bill.
And your guest, what's your guest's name? Sorry.
Your guest is Jan.
Oh, Jan, sorry.
And Bill, you want to talk about the ageing population?
Yeah,
well,
yeah, you brought it up already. Well, yeah, because when it started way back, there were lots of Vietnam vets driving trucks interstate because, you know, they couldn't settle into a normal job. And I see they've got the same problem in Germany the other day. I was reading in the paper that they've got an aged population as well. But I'm glad you got on to that. They should have, and the last federal government tried to bring in a thing called safe rates.
They did bring it in.
Yeah, well, is it enforced properly?
What's happening is we've got a change of government, and so there we don't know whether or not this entity is going to continue. But they have successfully had a very good mediation while they were alive as an organisation, and that mediation went on and did come with a positive result, which then did go to a tribunal that basically enforced what the mediation was about. So it was a useful exercise, but unfortunately change of government will put that at risk. They're certainly involved in another project. We'll just have to wait and see how the Liberal government views it. I'm not a union representative, although the union did pay for me to attend conferences overseas to talk about trucking. But I know the union fought very, very hard and very long to have that set up. So we'll see what the Liberal government does with it.
Can you say g'day to Jeff on the road from Wombe on the dirt? For me, sleeping on night shift is a struggle, as is keeping my mind focused, especially when I have some drama. 12 hours in the truck can really exacerbate a problem. Having said that, I've solved many problems behind the wheel as well, says Wombe. A couple of great points in there.
Well, if he can't sleep, he needs a sleep apnea test.
Yeah, that could be one of the issues. I mean, you know, night shift and shifting the body clock around for everybody. It mightn't be just necessarily apnea. There could be a number of reasons. But
what shift workers do, and it's an awful experience. I've done it for a very long time. When you really notice it is when you don't have to do it anymore and you're still doing it.
Tell me about it.
Well, exactly. I forgot we're talking at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
So I know exactly what you're saying. And you know, it is interesting because keeping your mind focused, you've got to obviously keep your concentration focused very much on the road.
Let's go to the elephant in the room, which is the use of amphetamine and speed on the road. And I'm talking about the drug. You know, the interesting thing about the conversations around drug taking in the industry is, number one, I have never spoken to a truck driver who has denied that there's a problem in the trucking industry. They all agree they've seen it, either experienced it and got off it, or they're on it. And so there is no debate about there's an issue. That's a given.
Right.
And what amphetamine particularly does, I believe, from talking to these men, is provides a sense of optimism. You know, it keeps them awake. Hmm. It makes them feel like they're going to complete a trip. The word speed is unfortunate in that people think they speed because they're on speed. Now, habitual amphetamine users know exactly what they're doing and they will use it to stay awake, to feel optimistic, to feel that life's good, they can complete a trip, they can concentrate. They will even tell you that they can see things much clearer. Now, that makes it a very dangerous drug, and it also probably takes about a third of their wages.
Yeah, it's just it's got to be another way. It just doesn't sound right.
Well, I was in Dublin talking to the Dublin Dockers, and they have a Facebook page which is just amazing. But I went to a rehabilitation centre there and spoke to truckies who were getting off speed and alcohol issues for about an hour and a half. It was a very, very rich experience, but it was a designated place for these men to address some of the issues. The building industry in New South Wales has a very good rehab. There's nothing.
So you're suggesting there should be some sort of service provided by the trucking industry?
Anyone. I mean, if they're going to black box GPS, do compliance, and I'd like to see a nice rehab set up for these men who would like to get off it.
I've got Morris here, says, what about women truck drivers? The very next text I've got is from a truck driver called Simone. He says, I do 1,000 kilometres in my car on the Western Hume highways every month and would like to give a big thumbs up to the truck drivers. I'd far prefer to travel with trucks than cars on the roads. It's not exactly a woman truck driver, but just to mention there, talk about, yeah, truck drivers, that, you know, sometimes you do feel safe having a few trucks on the road, especially out there on the lonely open road. I've got also here from Dave, I do Melbourne to Sydney return, depot to depot in Sydney. The company I work for gives me a house to live in, and then I drive back to Melbourne. So some companies look after their staff better than others,
yeah,
perhaps.
And that'd be a shared house. They'd be going in, sleeping and going out, and, yeah, good on them.
All right. Mick, good morning.
Hi, mate, how you going?
Good, thanks. What do you reckon?
Ah, well, yeah, I'm getting out. One incident, I got pulled into Marulan the other week. This just gets up my nose. I had the date filled out on my logbook, but because there's a little square beside it, you've got to actually tick what day it is, like it's just the initial. I didn't do that, and my BFM number, I put that down, but I didn't tick the square. I got a $320 fine.
Look, actually, I hear this all the time, and I wrote a chapter in this book about regulations and compliance. I'm no fool, and I'm not great at mathematics, but I was very, very committed to trying to understand the logbook question. I cannot tell you how long I looked at it, how many pages I looked at it, how many old, new logbooks I looked at. And I find it interesting that we're going to do a thing in companies. You know, there's a lot of, let's take it away from trucking. We have very large companies and they want to talk about self-regulation. And I know this is a political comment, but I can't help it because it has got up my nose. We have politicians who can't regulate how they're spending their funds in terms of attending social events. So they can't regulate their behaviour around the expenditure of public funds, and we're not talking about them. But truck drivers did regulate their own behaviour, and we now have, and I'm not suggesting we go back there, but we now have a system that everyone agrees is mind-bogglingly stupid.
And we get so many calls about the logbooks, it just does seem ridiculous. I mean, you're getting truck drivers charged for spelling mistakes.
Definitely. But look, some of that too is legendary and overused, you know, particularly the spelling mistake one. Yeah. But I do believe that he didn't tick the box and he got a 300 and whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't make sense. They're out there struggling to make a living and then someone can take $300 out of their wage for such a minor discrepancy. It's, you know...
Well, what I'm interested in too is if police officers are writing those tickets up and they have a bad reputation with the trucking industry, one would wonder why. You know, of course you're going to get annoyed about it. And that would bring another suggestion up that I think is really important is that we do need a liaison officer in every state with the unions. You know, there should be a designated highway patrol boss who's talking to the unions as a liaison officer in each state.
Hang on to that thought, Jan, because we'll come back to you. At the end, I'll ask you about that, because David from Graceville says, are there any initiatives your guests can think of to improve the industry other than better pay rates? And you mentioned a couple of things there, so I'll get you to point form those in a little while when we get to the end of the interview, which is coming up in around about 5 minutes' time. Mick just wanted to say that he's been driving for 32 years and he's about to get out of the system, Mick. You want to say that as
about
well?
About enough, yeah? Mate. Yeah, about enough of all their little rules and all their rubbish, and they're just trying to take money. And that fine was from the RTA and their arrogance that they have.
Okay. Yeah.
Just unbelievable.
Yes, I would agree with you.
So 32 years. What are you going to do now, Mick?
I'm going to go and drive a forklift, mate.
Fair enough.
Well, they're not going to find me to go to work. This is the most fined job in the world.
Yeah.
We get fined to go to work.
It's
massive amounts.
Does seem that they do cop a lot of, there's a lot, I suppose they're on the road the whole time, so they're sharing the road with other cars and police officers out there and also other officials. There's a lot of compliance, and you said you did a whole chapter on
this,
Jen.
Well, I think there's a lot of compliance in a lot of workplaces. It's almost a trend, from the police officer side of it. I remember, and I haven't been one since 2007, the amount of paperwork was extraordinary, and having to write where I was every call, even though we would get radio advice, of where to go, so there was a log via radio, we would then have to record where we've been. Obviously, we have to be accountable about what we're doing. But I often wonder, if we GPSed politicians, if we GPSed doctors and nurses, particularly, for example, doctors, where they are every given, there would be a huge outcry. No truckie will say either that we don't need compliance. It's not like they want a compliance-free industry. But there's a current discussion about this black box in New South Wales, and I think, fine, introduce another compliance feature and see, because people don't talk about, what conditions they don't report. If you've got a black box in a plane, you've got one unit, a plane, in a sky, and one or two operators recording everything. A truck on the road with a black box in it will have so many elements that are not reported within the event that I'm against another type of regulatory system. And if you're going to have a GPS system in a truck, fine, but at least use that form of communication so a driver can talk back to the base that's got the GPS.
We haven't even touched on the CB radios and the way that truck drivers are a community to themselves on the road. Saltbush has rung up and he's got a poem that he wants to share.
Oh,
with us.
Wonderful.
G'day, Saltbush.
Yeah, g'day, mate.
G'day, how you going?
Yeah, good.
So what's your poem titled?
I just call it The Blue Light, actually. I haven't really got a name for it.
The Blue Light.
Yeah.
I think I can guess what this might be about.
Good-o. I wrote it in 1991.
Go for it. I love poetry.
Good-o. It's a blue light on your windscreen, mate. There's a plane up in the sky. They want you for an interview and there ain't no use to lie. The interview's for revenue and they'll get you tonight. They won't believe that your tyres were right when you left home last fortnight.
Mm.
You did not see the line across that open road so splendid. And if they throw the book at you, your licence is suspended.
Mm.
He walks up to the cabin door and shouts, "License log triangles." The way the policeman speaks to you, you'd think you were in manacles. You're a criminal right through and through. Well, that's the way they treat you. And you can protest all you like, but you know they're going to beat you. "Take it to the court," he says with a smile and a snicker. But well, he knows you can't go to court and to pay the fine's much cheaper. He doesn't care that you're running late, that the load's becoming hot, and though he keeps calling you mate, that's one thing that he's not. He's found a light that's not all right. It's just a globe loose in its socket. But he doesn't care. He'll write that up. That takes more from your pocket. You're a criminal right through and through, or that's the way they treat you, and you can protest all you like, but you know they're going to beat you.
That's actually really beautiful, and I hope you submit it to Big Rig or Owner Driver and they publish it, because it's just Carly Morris, I think Morris is her name, in Big Rig. Send it into her and ask them to publish it. It's just beautiful. And look, that relationship with police officers, I never did highway patrol work. And look, police work is difficult, but I'd like to see a liaison officer. There's a Phil Brooks that's there who's very competent. He's one of the bosses. If he could become some type of liaison officer with the industry to start improving relationships, I think it would be useful.
Mm.
And, of course, I have done fatalities as a cop and they're horrific.
Mm.
I've been with a truck that lost its brakes coming down the hill there on the F3 going north. The way that was handled was superb. But that was, I've seen good police work and I've seen some horrific stuff.
Yeah, we can't tar everyone with the same brush there. Look, we've only got about a minute left there, Jan, so I will... come to this question I was going to ask you before in just a second, but I'll read this one from Martin in Redfern. It says, do people want to eat or buy things from a shop? Well, stop picking on the truck driver and fix the roads, he's just said quite simply. And I've got this one here that came in before that I mentioned to you, and that just wanted to know what initiatives are there? What initiatives can you think of to improve the industry? And if you could just answer that in 20 seconds, that'd be great. Thanks, Jan.
I'd like to see a rehab for truck drivers designated. Yep. I'd like to see the police liaison officers set up statewide.
Yep.
I'd like the compliance features to be more applicable to the actual workplace, and that means definitely talking to drivers, but drivers are very hard to get onto.
It's been great talking to you. The news is coming up. Jan, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Jan Karp there.